Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
Thank you, God. Well, I want to encourage everyone, get ready, because God is growing our church. Get ready, because God is moving us. Get ready, because breakthrough is on its way. Come on, get ready, because revival is about to take place in South. Get ready, because homes are about to be restored. Get ready, because healing is coming your way. Your body is about to be restored. I'm so excited what God is doing. It's all God. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. I also want you to get ready on October 8th. To come to our fall festival. We're going to have a good time and build community. We've got free food, raffles and prizes, games and community for our kids. But most of all, we're going to have Jesus on our campus. So we want you to be here Saturday, October the 8th. I'm also very excited and proud of Neil Hawkins and the team at Life Athletics. They just finished their first soccer season. And this Saturday is the celebration event for Life Athletics. And we're also partnering with the school and a couple other organizations to do a back-to-school bash here on the property, where we're giving out school supplies and clothing to kids that are in need. We're being generous. And I was ecstatic because the Lord, and I promise you, this was nothing of man's doing. But this week I had the privilege of dropping off a minivan to Brother Ernie and Miss Shirley Porter, because God is providing. He's opening up provision for people. That, can I tell you, when you're faithful to Jesus, Jesus will be faithful to you. I don't know any other couple on the planet that is probably more highly favored of the Lord because of their righteousness. 80 plus years of serving, loving Jesus. They are the longest standing members of our congregation, and they've always been such an encouragement to Jubilee and I. It was such a privilege to bless them. It's not enough. We want to bless them more. We want to bless everyone in this place more. I want to introduce this morning's guest speaker. If you're kind of new around here, you may not understand or know that another part of the ministry that God has blessed us with at Life Church is the fact that we support over 20 different missionary efforts globally. Every single month, we are financially supporting missionaries that are in almost every continent. We're very close to being in every continent. And it's a very important heartbeat. It's a lifeline of our church, because if you know things about the kingdom of God, if we take care of God's kingdom, then He will take care of our kingdom. If we do what God says to go into all the world and make disciples, then Jesus wants to bless them. And I'm confident and I'm convinced that one of the reasons any ministry that I've been involved in grows is because we give to missionaries, because we sow into other ministries, because we help Henry County Dream Center right here in our city. We help Be the Church with Ben McDonald to bring church leaders together, because we're all working together on the same team. Amen? We're not building our castle, we're building a kingdom. We're advancing the things of God all across the world. And this morning, we tend, whenever we know there's a missionary that we support coming around, we try to get them here because we want their face and their heart and their love for Jesus to infect our church. And the Coopers are no exception. They're beautiful people that have loved this church and invested in this church for many more years than I've been here. And he actually, when COVID hit, he was one of the key leaders that helped us launch our live stream ministry. If it wasn't for the Coopers and their investment, they stayed here. He's gotten annoyed by the FaceTime calls when I've got, hey, how do I fix this? This is broken. I'm not a media pastor. Jonathan, help me. And he's also got a really cool name. His name's Jonathan. But I want you to give a warm welcome to our missionaries, the Coopers, this morning, Pastor Bonnie and Jonathan. And Jonathan's got a word from heaven for us this morning. Will you give it up for our missionaries this morning? We love you. We love you.
For having us. I just want to say, first off, thank you to the ladies for letting me join you this weekend. When you come in from out of town, you don't want to be the loner at the big conference. So it was nice to be one of you this weekend. God really touched our hearts. He spoke to us ladies, and he's doing it again this morning. I was praying before service, and so I'm going to start with this. I thought God was giving me this scripture for my message of sharing with you. But as we went into worship and the songs, I really feel like this is a word for your congregation. So it's in 2 Corinthians 4, and it's going to start with verse 8. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but we are never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. And we're going to skip to verse 14. And why do these things? Why are these things important? Because we know that God, who raised Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself. All of this is for your benefit, for our benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will get more and more glory. Our suffering, our trials, our hardships bring glory to God when we turn to him. Just remember that when you're struggling, whatever you're going through right now, whatever seems impossible, whatever seems like it's driving you to despair, focus on God, and his glory will be made in your life. So that's just been stirring in me. And you know, it does speak to what we do as missionaries. God has moved us into a new season. We celebrated 25 years in missions in March of this year. It's a long season of life I never thought I would have since I didn't grow up in the church, but it has been a blessing. And we are now on a home assignment, is what we like to call it. We are still with World Missions. We work with a ministry called Network 211. Many of you will say 211, and that's okay because we slip up occasionally. But it is 211, and that stands for 21st Century Technology Spreading the First Century Gospel. So we use the internet to get the word of Christ out. It's been an amazing journey. It's been just a God thing for us to move into this season of life. Here in the States, and so we just have a video that kind of tells you about Network, because you know, technology is sometimes a little hard to get your brain around, and especially when it's used in the mission world. So we just have a small video for you to watch that kind of explains the ministry, and then I'll wrap up a little bit.
Thank you. Each day, Google processes over 3.5 billion online searches. The average internet user searches Google more than 3 times per day. We search for everything from shopping deals to driving directions. At the same time, people are also searching for answers to some of life's greatest issues: anxiety, brokenness, guilt, fear, and loss of love. The internet gives people the anonymity to search for answers to questions they might never discuss with even their closest family or friends. Frequently, these life issues can lead to debilitating fear, depression, pain, and far too often, suicide. We think that any person, anywhere on earth with questions that important, deserves the answer of Jesus in their internet search. Network 211 is online to ensure that the gospel appears on those search results. Through the use of keyword research and online ads, we have shared the gospel with people in 244 countries and territories. Since 2008, we have averaged one person receiving an interactive gospel presentation every 8.7 seconds. Every 3.1 minutes, someone in the world makes an evangelism response. But our work doesn't stop there. After sharing who Christ is, we encourage users to send us messages with their questions, prayer requests, and decisions to follow Jesus. One of our 1-2-1 connectors responds in their native language and often in the same country. Connectors journey with these hurting individuals with the end goal of helping them find a Christian community of faith. We walk with them from their first search to finding a local church. We've provided these personal discipleship connections to hundreds of thousands of individuals worldwide. Network 211 is grateful to the Lord and ministry partners like you for the results God's provided worldwide. Here are some of those amazing results because of those partnerships and God's blessings. The statistics are important because they represent people. Individuals like you and me who need to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. Their stories are powerful, often desperate, and just as often miraculous.
So we, like I said, we are just amazed at what God does through this ministry. There were some big numbers up on that screen. The ministry started in 2008. And just this month, we celebrated 50 million visitors to our websites. That's 50 million people who have been exposed to the Word of God, who have had a chance to read and understand that they need Christ. We've had 2.5 million of them click a button on our website that says, I need prayer, I have a question, or I've given my life to Christ. Yeah. 425,000 people have written to us, literally reached out, wanting connection, wanting answers. They're hurting. But I'm going to bring that number, that 425,000 people, down to 4 that contacted us just this month. September 4th, Joyce from Nigeria. I'm super excited to have come across this page online. I pray God forgives me for all my sins and grants me another chance with Him. Only He can fill my emptiness. John from Kenya. Everything feels like a dream, just feels like an illusion. I feel like I'm just in some imaginary world, confused. I just wish God could give a hint of what's really going on. Life is getting scary. I want to be happy. I want to give a testimony of hope. Could any of you just tell God to please take over control because I'm tired? Roland from Ireland. My sin was so bad, I couldn't name it here, but can I be forgiven? Yvonne from Colombia, please pray for me. Right now, I have been experiencing anxiety about my past relationship. I wish I could turn the page, but I can't shut my mind, and I've reached a point where I can't run away from it anymore. I'm forced to face it. I need prayer. Four real individuals that are facing life crises, facing hardships, the same things you and I are facing. Many of them don't know Christ yet. That's why we do what we do. People are increasingly, especially since COVID, reaching out on the internet to find hope. And we have to be the hands and feet that take that hope to them, even through things such as the internet. So we just want to say thank you. As Pastor mentioned, you guys have been with us from almost the very beginning of our ministry efforts. This church has been a supporter of what we do. Yeah. And we like to say, you guys, you're passionate. You're passionate about your communities, you're passionate about each other, and you're passionate about the world. And so are we. Thank you.
It's an honor to be here. It really is. And I am super excited because of what God has put in my heart to share with you. And I think oftentimes we don't understand the power that we have. How many of you think you're powerful? Notice my hand's not going up. There's a few of you, but most of us don't believe that we're as powerful as God has made us to be. And I want to work on your series that we're talking about, Following God, It's Worth It. If you could put that slide up. And I'm going to help you today because I'm just going to prompt you, and then that way you don't have to figure out where I'm going or what's happening. Following God, It's Worth It. How many of you know when we think of following God, we have things in our mind of what that would be? How about Pastor Jonathan and Jubilee? You think they're following God?
Yeah.
You'd better. But it's interesting when you look at Jesus' crew, okay? He surrounded himself with 12 disciples. Now, disciples makes it sound really fancy. He's just hanging out with 12 guys, okay? It's funny because we just got a table in our house, and the guy delivering it, he looks at us and he goes, "You know what we call this table at the shop?" I said, "I have no idea." He says, "We call it the Jesus table because it's big enough for one person and his 12 friends." So that's the way it was. But if you look, let's go ahead to the next slide. Look at who God calls as part of these 12 friends, okay? Four of them are fishermen. One of them is a tax collector. Bartholomew is actually the grandson of the king of Geshur. And Simon is a zealot. And zealot's a fancy word for saying he is a, like, uber Jew. You know what I'm saying? He's like, every little rule, man, he's going to nail that and make sure he's got it all right. And that was who Jesus collected around him. It wasn't all pastors. Now, there was an evangelist. Philip was an evangelist. But we often think of people who are called being solely in ministry positions. And I want to shake that belief this morning. So I want to share, my wife and myself, we call ourselves day job missionaries. So let's go to that next slide with my wife and myself. Okay, so this is who we are and this is what we do. My wife is the business manager for Network 211. How many of you out there are ready to say accountants for Jesus? Doesn't that sound spiritual? She's an accountant. You know, it doesn't click. But God uses it. I tell people, if the money ain't flowing, the ministry ain't going. You know what I mean? And she has had the blessing to actually go, when we're overseas in Africa, Teen Challenge and the television station for the Kenya Assemblies of God are going, we can't make ends meet. We don't understand what's happening. Where's our money going? And she did a financial audit to find out what's happening. Because that's her gifting. That's what God has given her. Myself, I'm a video engineer, so I create and do a lot of things with video and media. But that's who God made me to be. We're living in Africa, and my father calls me, and we talk all the time, and he's saying, son, how many times do you preach this week? And I'm like, that's not my calling. I mean, I'm glad to do it. I'm excited to do it. But
here we go.
Hey, I'm back. Woohoo! See, that's how excited I was to do it. But then I see what happens where we're going. When we start a radio station in Tanzania in an area that's 80% Muslim, and people are being told about Jesus Christ. Because I'm willing to say, I'm using my day job for God. That's what he wants. That's what he wants from us. I want to introduce you to somebody. Let's go to this next slide here. I want to introduce you to somebody. You've been seeing this guy peeping around the corner of these previous slides and wonder, what in the world is that and who is he? So I put a Jewish construction man. Because if Bezalel was alive today, he would be looking like that. Hard hat, the Jewish locks, the whole nine yards. That's who he'd be. So what I'm going to do is I want to start our story at the beginning. How many of you are like me who hate to jump in the middle of a movie? Because you're sitting there going, what's going on? Who's? I'm like, it drives me nuts. So I'm going to set up the story, okay? Moses is on the mountain of God. He has the distinct privilege of talking to God face to face. They're having an actual conversation. And during this conversation, what happens is this. He says, so let's go to the next slide, please. And he says, see, I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Okay, so we're talking the Spirit of God filling somebody. In all the rest of Scripture, the Spirit of God fills people to glorify God, to preach. Even Saul the king was anointed with the Spirit of God. And what did he do? He glorified God. So what do you think Bezalel was doing to glorify God? Let's go to the next slide. This is what Bezalel does. He's a metal worker, a jeweler, a gem cutter, a wood cutter, engraver, a designer, an embroiderer, a weaver, and every inventive work. Basically, how many of you have ever met a musician who, like, touches any instrument and they could play it? And doesn't it infuriate those of us who have to work really hard to figure out how to play one instrument? This is Bezalel. He could do anything. He watches somebody do, oh, yeah, I could do that. But why? Why can he do that? Let's go to the next slide. And this is where this is where I was getting to the point in the sermon, and God says, I want you to hit pause here, because somebody here needs to hear this. And this is from the New Jewish Publication Society version of the Bible. And the reason I'm reading this is because of four words. And we're going to talk about those four words and what it means for your life. It says this, I have empowered him and endowed him with a divine spirit of skill ability and knowledge in every kind of craft. So here's the four words we're going to work on today. We're going to stop and we're going to pause and we're going to concentrate on four words. Divine spirit of skill. Okay? I'm going to count to three. I want you to say those words with me. Here we go. One, two, three. Divine spirit of skill. And what does that mean? That means the Spirit of God came on Bezalel to create the tabernacle of God. God was on the mountain talking with Moses face to face and giving specific directions for the tabernacle where God would dwell. And he said, of everybody in the world, I want this guy. Of all the Israelites that are out there, and there's a couple million of them, I want this guy. But I want to talk about those four words and what we think and what God thinks. Because I believe that there are people in this place that God has given a divine spirit of skill. Now, oftentimes, we try and force things. I'm going to be honest up here, okay? A little bit transparent. We try and force things. So, 1989, I'm a minute or two old, okay? 1989, I'm in college to become a pastoral ministries major. I think, you know, every pastor needs to know how to sing. So I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to take an entire semester of singing courses. I learned how to sing in German. I learned how to sing in Italian. I learned how to sing in French. And at the end of the course, the teacher looked at me and said, "Don't sing." Why? Because there is a divine spirit of skills. There is a skill that God gives you and blesses you. And my problem was, I was thinking my skill had to be on this stage singing. When God says, no, I got something completely different for you. I'm going to turn you into an uber geek, and you're going to do all kinds of things and touch people around the world. Because he's got a different plan than our plan. Have you ever figured that out yet? He's got his own plan. And so what does the divine spirit of skill look like in our lives? So I'm going to brag on my wife. So many of you think, you know, somebody who's technical and all that, they're going to be going to this great big church and they're going to be running things in the background and all that. And we go to a country church with 80 folk, okay? And the reason we did, we went to another church that had about 300 people, and we were sitting there, and God just kept going, "You're doing nothing. You're doing nothing." It just drove us nuts. We weren't, our hands and our fingers weren't in stuff. We weren't using the skills that God had given us. And we're just sitting there, and we just get more miserable and more miserable. And God sent us to this little country church. And this morning at 7 o'clock, my wife is, last week we were in the sound booth, like those guys. We were those guys. Because it's not about what I'm doing during the week to reach people for Jesus. It's about my attitude. God has given me a skill. What am I going to do with that? And if we can't reach here before we reach there, then we're probably not going to reach there. So 7 o'clock this morning, my wife is up because 1 o'clock in the morning, my pastor finished his sermon in Missouri. And she's up there making his PowerPoint and sending it to him. Why? Because there is a difference between a gift and a talent and a divine, special anointing of skill. And you know what that is? Comes to one word. Attitude. Yeah. And you know why it's an attitude thing? Right. How many of you have said, or somebody said to you, have you said it to yourself, or you said it to somebody else, wow, you're talented, or I'm gifted in that area? Where's your finger pointing at that? I'm gifted, I'm talented in this area. And when God gives you a divine spirit of skill, He's saying, I am blessing you in this area of your life so you can bless others for the kingdom of God. It's not about you. And we get that so mixed up. And I'm part of the we. We think, oh, yeah, I'm good at this, so I'll make a lot of money. And to be brutally honest, my wife and myself could make a whole lot more money doing something else. But God said, I want you to use what's in your hand. Take that and reach the world. The divine spirit of skill. Why is it so important? Why is it so important that we give of ourselves to God? So as they're going through the process here in Exodus 35, 10, so let's put that slide up there. All who are gifted artisans among shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. So this is a call for all the Israelites who are talented to come underneath Bezalel and build the tabernacle of God. He says, if you're out there, you're talented. Why? Even though Bezalel has the Spirit of God on him, God's plan is not for one person to do everything. If it was, then that one person would get a really big head. You know? I'm just being honest, transparent, and just letting you know what God's telling me. It's the fact that your pastors here, Jonathan and Jubilee, they need your help. They need your skills. People ask me, tell me all the time, well, I'm not talented, I'm not blessed, I only do this. Well, have you thought about maybe the church needs this in some area? Some people say, you know, hey, I'm retired. I don't have much to give. That's the amazing thing with God's economy. Yeah. It's not about what you got. Yeah. It's about what God does with what you got. Yeah. Yeah. When you turn it over and you say, God, this is yours. Then He does something amazing. So this is the outcome. Everybody in Israel is coming together. They are building a tabernacle for God, a place for God to live as they travel through the desert. And this is what happens when they dedicate the building. Next slide here. And it says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses himself was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting, because the cloud rested on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. What happens when you give what you got to God? God steps in. It's about God using us. I still have no idea why He chooses to use us. We're so fouled and so... we don't have it all together. But God still chooses to use us and blesses us to do what He's called us to do. So I want to show you a picture here. Let's go to this next slide. So this is our church. Our church in Nairobi that we worked with had about 3,000 people. It's interesting because some of the Sundays out of the 3,000 people, my family was the only white people in the entire church. And you know what? We were fine with that. Because it's about the kingdom of God. So we're overseas in Kenya for 4 years, pouring our lives into it. And the national church keeps going, well, I want you to teach at the Bible school. No, I want you to develop this. No, I want you to help the churches. No, 6 times they changed the vision on us. When we left, we were depressed. Because we sat there and go, God, we didn't accomplish anything. Nothing happened. Because people were telling us even that what they needed was, they just needed the equipment. And I refused to give equipment to people who didn't know how to use it. Because in missions, we talk about the indigenous church, and it's a fancy word for meaning I'm training you as a church so you could take over and I can get out of the way. So they kept coming to us and they kept saying, you need to do this. And we kept saying to the national church, but you got a team that's already here and they're trained and they're really good and they know how to do everything. And so God literally pulled us out of Africa with us being devastated. So July 2021, we get a chance to go back to sell all our stuff. And thank you to the women's ministries for helping us ship all of our stuff back home. And while we're there, I met with the media director at that church. He said, I got to tell you what's happened. I'm going, okay, what happened? He says, you know how much you poured into us? Every day you pushed us to be better? I said, yeah. He said, this thing called COVID hit. And because they couldn't go into the studio, the national television stations had no programming. So they were desperate. They went to all the denominations and they said, if you give us good quality church services that we could put on the air, we'll put them on the air for free. There was only a handful of denominations that were ready and prepared for free on the air. And it started growing. From July of 2020 to July of 2021, I met with a pastor. He said, we are now on 2 national television stations. He said, our staff has gone from 7 full-time media people to 23. The head of the media department, we went out to lunch afterwards, and he says, I don't know how it happened. He says, but I turned into Cooper. He says, I'm pushing these guys hard, and they need to start stretching, expanding. How did this happen? They've had 7,000 people call in for salvation in 1 year. And it's not because of us, but it's because of God multiplying our ability to say, this is all I can do. I can't sing, but I can do this. And this is what I'm going to do, God, faithfully for you. And he took that. Now, I have to be honest. In 2020, when God told us, you're not going back to Africa, it was one of the hardest things we ever dealt with. We love Africa. Man, those people are amazing. Talk about worshiping God. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, when I get to heaven, I'm finding the African corner, especially for the prayer meeting, you know. They're amazing.
But this is what happens when you use that divine spirit of skills and you say, God, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. It's worth it. I will follow you. So God said, I want you to come to the United States and live in Missouri. Now, that was a couple months just conversation right there, just to be completely honest with you. And Bonnie was a large part of that. I'm saying, I feel God calling us to do this. And she's going, no. But we showed up in Missouri and we said, okay, God, I need a place to stay. It's costing me $2,000 a month to rent a place here. I can't afford that in my missionary salary. You're going to have to perform a miracle. And when you walk and follow God's divine plan for your life, He provides. It's worth it, I'm telling you. I had no savings. I had no anything. And God came in. We knew we had to buy a house. 50 years old, never bought a house before in my life. I had zero down, no money for closing, no anything. God stepped in. I paid zero down, zero at closing. And our realtors paid their own fee because they loved what we were doing. When you give your skills to God, it's worth it, people. And I want to leave this morning challenging you. I want you to think of stewardship in a different way. Let's put up that slide on stewardship. This is how I think we should think of stewardship. We should steward our prayer time. We should steward our giving. Because Pastor Jake was talking about that earlier. But I also believe we should steward our skills. What has God given you? What can you do for the kingdom? Man, I loved hearing that story about Ace in the bathrooms. I'm like, woohoo, he's preaching my sermon. What can you give to God? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much, dear Jesus. God, I thank you that you choose to use us, that you choose to impart divine spirit of skills on us, God, so we could use what people would call normal stuff to glorify you and move your kingdom forward. God, I pray that you'd be with us, dear Jesus. God, in this room right now, I pray that you would just, your spirit would be touching people and touching their minds to remind them where their divine spirit of skill falls, dear Jesus. God, I pray as we walk out these doors that you will help us not just to remember where that is, but Father God, help us to apply that so that we would reach people for you and change this world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. While we're praying this morning, if there's anyone here who has never accepted Jesus Christ in their life, I want to stop and I want to give an opportunity. If you're here, just slip up your hand. We'd love to pray with you. Dear God, I thank you for these blessings. I thank you for this congregation that is a huge blessing for your kingdom. And God, I pray that you would allow us to give our skills back to you, to reach the world for Jesus. Amen.